It's been a great week regarding the weather. Whoever knew that we would be able to be out in shorts and t-shirts in the middle of February? Although, I don't know, maybe you weren't out in shorts and t-shirt yesterday, but you could have been if you really wanted to endure it. Barbecuing. Somebody's been barbecuing this weekend, too. Oh, yeah, that was me. It was good, though. It's nice. Well, that's the way life goes, though, isn't it? Sometimes we have good days. Sometimes the weather is nice. Other times maybe it's a lot more stormy. And so as we read through the Bible, sometimes we find people in the middle of storms. And that is not only a literal storm that people go through, but sometimes it may be figurative. So we may think of some storms that even happened in the last several years. We may think about Hurricane Katrina, which was the second worst hurricane in U.S. history. That was in 2005. Over 1,500 people died from a hurricane. And so when we talk about today, this event in the life of Jesus and his disciples, we know that it was quite a storm that they were going through. Or maybe a tsunami in Indonesia in 2004. 230,000 people died in a tsunami. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of damage. That's a lot of loss of everything, life and property. And that's the way storms seem to be. Sometimes we watch the weather, and the weatherman may say, well, there's a storm coming. We may want to be prepared. We don't always know how bad it's going to be, but sometimes we can be equipped. We can maybe go out and buy some supplies. Depending on where you live, you may board up some windows. You may try to move the things that blow easily, get them inside the house so they don't all blow away. But other times, there's really no warning. Sometimes storms just hit. Even the weatherman didn't see it coming. But that's the way storms can be in our life as well. And so we want to make some application from what these disciples were going through to what we go through sometimes, because maybe we don't get into all these severe weather conditions living around here. Now, maybe if we lived in the south where they have more hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, even maybe floods, although we had our share of flood a couple of years ago, but it's really nothing compared to what other people have suffered, even with that amount of water. So here the disciples are. It's interesting because all they're doing is what Jesus said. Jesus said, let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side. So sometimes things happen in our life, not necessarily because we're out of the will of God, but just because we're doing the will of God. Sometimes we endure hardships. We have things that hit us. We sometimes question, well, why would God bring me here at this time? Why would he allow these events to happen? This doesn't really make a lot of sense. Certainly these are the questions that were going through the disciples' minds as they were trying to figure out what was happening as they were on this lake. And so some questions come up because there was, it says there in Mark, there was a furious squall, and some of the other gospel writers say it was a storm, a furious storm. And it came up, and that's the idea that it came suddenly. It came without any warning. And this is the way it was on the Sea of Galilee. We'll just talk in a minute about the sea, a little bit of how that works specifically in that area. But this was so bad that the waves broke over the boat, started flooding, and started filling the boat. And you get the picture that the water was coming in quicker than they could, you know, dump it out. And so they were going down. And they knew that if they couldn't maneuver the boat and keep the boat afloat in a storm like this, there's no way they're going to be able to swim to shore. As a matter of fact, at this point, with all the rain, there would be darkness. This is probably happening late evening, maybe even at nighttime when the sun had already gone down. I mean, you wouldn't even know which way to go, even if you were going to start swimming. Or you may just end up swimming in circles. And so they felt helpless. They felt hopeless. What could they do? Well, they kind of came up with an idea that they needed to do whatever they could in order to survive. Well, this is the problem that they had sometimes there on the lake. It's sometimes called the Sea of Galilee, but it definitely was not that big. Sometimes it was called the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Tiberias. In the Old Testament, sometimes it was even called Kinneret. It is actually the largest freshwater part in there in Israel. 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, 140 feet deep. Part of the problem with this lake, though, is it's 700 feet below sea level. So it's very low. It's one of the lowest lakes or seas in all the world, except for the Dead Sea, which is even a little bit lower. So what would happen is, with the mountainous range and just with the way the climate is, the air pressure, that if there was a lot of heat and there was air that was rising, then the cooler air from the mountains would come down and could create these storms in just a matter of a few minutes, and they'd be so unexpected the people wouldn't know what was going to happen. And so this kind of gives us a picture of what the sea looks like. To the west there would be the section called Galilee. So this is called the Sea of Galilee, but the area of Galilee, where there'd be Jerusalem and Bethlehem and those other cities, would be to the west. And so here Jesus was sailing from Capernaum. I don't know if they were sailing or they were rowing. In either case, it was a difficult trip for them. They didn't know what was going to happen. Well, I don't know what it's like for you when you go through these difficult times, when turbulence comes. Sometimes you get a little storm. Sometimes you get a little bit of rain. Sometimes things just happen. But what happens when you get a big storm? Now, sometimes we do have an indication that a big storm is coming. Maybe where you work, they've been talking for a while that they're going to have to let some people go. Maybe you've been going to the doctor for a while, and he's saying, you know, I'm just really concerned about the way some of these test results look. Maybe even in your family, you see, well, there's been a lot of struggle. There's been a lot of tension. There's been some relational problems, and, you know, it just doesn't always look that good. But sometimes it just kind of comes out of the blue. Sometimes it comes unexpectedly. Sometimes it just comes, and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And this is the situation these disciples were in. And I don't know what you do when you're in that situation. Maybe it's an expected storm. Maybe it's something that just falls down from heaven upon you. And you kind of wonder, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Who do I turn to? And this is what the disciples were struggling with. We need to talk about, well, how do we struggle with this? What do we do? Where do we go? What hope do we have to make it through the storm? So Jesus was sleeping. Now this either meant that he was very tired, which it could have been that way, but if you could imagine how bad the storm was, the boat must have been rocking and being thrashed around and waters coming in. And first of all, you wonder, how could Jesus sleep through a storm like this? Well, he had a relationship with God. He trusted in God. He knew what the outcome was going to be. If you remember earlier on in the reading, what did Jesus say? He said, let's go to the other side of the lake. Now, if that's what Jesus said they were going to do, do you think that's what Jesus knew they were going to do? He knew what was going to happen. So even listening carefully to what Jesus says, if we're going to go to the other side, that means we're not going to die in the middle. If Jesus had been talking about going to the cross and dying for the sins of the people, he's not, I mean, what, God's plan, God's will, this thing that has been in God's mind from the foundation of the world, it's going to be thwarted because Jesus drowned in the Lake of Galilee on an unknown day, in an unknown place, and his body was never recovered. See, that's not part of the story. Jesus knew what was going to happen. The disciples just failed to hear what the plan was and to understand that God is going to be with them even through the storms of life. And so we can take peace in that. We can take heart in hearing the words of God, knowing that he is going to see us through. And so the disciples woke Jesus up. And I think this is important because this is our question, isn't it? When we're going through hard times, God, don't you care? Like, I'm really hurting here. I'm devastated here. I don't know what I'm going to do here. Don't you care? I mean, I've tried a lot of other things. Surely these disciples, they must have been talking with one another. Hey, we can do this. Why don't you just row a little bit harder? Why don't you bail a little quicker? Let's work this out and together. I mean, keep in mind that at least four of the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were fishermen. And by the way, this is their lake. The Sea of Galilee is where they fished every day with their father. And even as young men and as adults, this is where they were out every day working on the Sea of Galilee. This is their place. The boat is their livelihood. They were experienced. They were skilled. And yet, what do we do when we go through these challenges, when these storms hit, what do we do? Well, you know, I think I can handle this on my own. I'm pretty smart. You know, I kind of know what to do. I've read some books. I've had some friends. Oh, maybe I should call my friends. Maybe my friends can help me through this. Maybe I need to go see somebody. You know, maybe if I talk to others about this, maybe this is going to help. Maybe there's going to be a solution in that. And so you can imagine they were trying amongst themselves, trying to fix this problem, but they eventually got to the point, we need to go to Jesus. But the first question is, you don't care. Don't you care? And to be honest, do we sometimes think about that when we call on God? But don't you care what I'm going through? Why are you allowing this to happen? Why aren't you seeing me through this? I mean, I'm going to die here. This is going to destroy me. This is going to ruin the hope, the dreams. What about my future? What about my relationships? What about my family? What about the church? What about these things? I mean, how is this going to end? Does God care? Jesus, don't you care? We're going to drown. This is too much. This was their question. Don't you care if we drown? Well, think about it. If they're going to drown, I'm guessing Jesus would drown too. I'm thinking this is before Jesus walked on the water, or else they could have thought, yeah, we're going to drown. She's going to wake up, start walking on the water, walk back to shore, and we're all going to be dead. No, that's not the way it's going to work out. These are Jesus' disciples. He's called them for a mission. He's called them for a purpose. He's not going to give up on them now. But this is their question. Don't you care that we drown? Well, yeah, God cares. God sees what's going on. He's not ignorant. He is not sleeping. He's not busy doing something else. He sees what we go through. And the answer, of course, is yes. Yes, he does care. And so Jesus' response is this then, when we think about, he wakes up, says to the storm, says he rebuked the storm. He rebuked it. The wind and the waves. This is what he said. Now some translations say, peace be still. That's the song that we had just sung. And the NIV says, quiet to be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. So you can imagine what was going through the disciples' mind at this point. I mean, they were in fear they're going to die. Now Jesus gets up and just says, stop. Let's stop the storm. Which shows that Jesus had power. Up to this point, they've seen Jesus do miracles. He has healed people. He's cast out demons. He's even raised the dead. He could feed the multitudes. But could Jesus take care of a storm? This is the question in our life. Can Jesus take care of our storm? Well, he just says, peace, be still. Now, some people could say, well, that's just a coincidence. I mean, because just as quickly as some storms come, so quickly they leave. And so Jesus just said it at the right time. Maybe he was a better meteorologist than he was a Messiah. Oh, no. Because not only did the wind stop blowing, which could have happened naturally. Now, has anybody ever been on a storm on the water before? And when the winds die down, immediately the water is calm? Not in any storm you've ever been in. Not in any storm that there's ever been. The waves will keep going for hours. The waves just don't all of a sudden. So even the waves stopped. It was calm. Jesus has the power to calm storms in our life. Even we say, but that's not normal. That's not natural. How could that be? We say, we don't know. It's a miracle. But God is able to do that. He's able to calm storms in our life if we really trust him. Secondly, if we call out to him, and that's what the disciples were doing, asking, Lord, please do something. And so they call to Jesus, and he is able to make this storm calm right down. Keep in mind what the disciples have been through. I mean, they were tired. They've been through a long day too. They've been through a lot of emotional ups and downs with Jesus and then with the crowds and then with the religious leaders. So yeah, they've had their struggles. And surely they're emotional. And now They've been through this storm in fear of their life. But look what the next verse says. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" What had happened in Luke's account, Luke chapter 8 and verse 22, it says, "In fear and amazement, they asked one another, 'Who is this? Even the commands, even the winds and the water, they obey him.'" So Luke says it was in fear and amazement. You see, they just had a lot of fear. They were at the fear of dying, and now they have an increased fear, not of the storm, not of the potential of death, but they have a great fear because it's like, who is this? Who is this man? We thought we were afraid of dying. We're afraid now, maybe a healthy fear, maybe just a wondering fear, but who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey his voice? What they're saying is, we were afraid to die. Maybe we're afraid to live with him. What kind of person is this? We have fear of the storms in the world. Now we are maybe fearful of the power. This is the power of God. They're beginning to see more and more of God the Father working in Jesus' life. And so it says they were terrified. Terrified. They asked each other, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" They weren't really sure. But what about us? What about us through the storms? Where do we turn? Who do we rely on? So we've got some challenges. We've got some things to think about when we consider this story. Because you could say, storms in life can be terrifying. They can really bring us down. They can destroy us at many different levels. But the question is then, is Jesus in the boat? Is Jesus in your boat? Is Jesus with you? Are you going through your life with Jesus? We basically have three different possibilities. Some people are developing, they're pursuing, they're growing in a relationship with Jesus. They want Jesus in the boat. They want to be traveling along every day with Jesus. They want to make sure Jesus is in the boat. It's not just, "Oh, I just want him there just in case I need him." They just enjoy the relationship. But when they do come upon trials, when they do come upon storms, Jesus is there. And they can count on him. Now, there's a whole other group of people, and you probably know some of these, that they don't want Jesus in the boat. Maybe they even deny that Jesus exists. They say, I want to sail by myself. I want to go where I want. See, Jesus told his disciples, this is where we're going. Well, I don't want to go there. I'd rather do something else. I'd rather be with somebody else. I'd rather take a different course. I want to do my own thing. I don't really want Jesus in the boat. But then there's another group of people. Okay, so we got the people with Jesus in the boat, and they're glad Jesus is there. There's people, Jesus, I don't want him in my boat. But there's another group of people that they think Jesus is in the boat. Right? So maybe at one point they've invited Jesus into their life. They've invited Jesus into the boat, saying, "Let's go through this together." But they've neglected Jesus. They've gone their own journey. They've made their own destinations. They've kind of put Jesus aside. And they think that somehow Jesus is still going to be there when they call on him. But you know, when they go through the storms of life, they begin looking around and they say, "But I don't see Jesus. He's not here. He's not in the boat. He used to be in the boat. He's just not here anymore." And some people don't realize that until they're in the middle of the storm. Because they've just kind of brushed him away. They've kind of erased him out of their life. They've been doing their own thing so long that they've forgotten about Jesus. Or maybe they've been doing so many things that they thought, these are good things. They're religious things. They're loving and they're kind things. But doing them all without Jesus. So now Now where is he? Where's Jesus when we need him? Now it's not like Jesus is going to be gone and he'll never come back. He doesn't care anymore. But when we're distant in our relationship with Jesus, it's sometimes it's even hard to call out to him. Right? We've kind of brushed him aside for so long that he does seem distant because we have put him in that place. Even the winds and the waves obey him, but where is Jesus? Is he with us? Is he in our boat? So I want us to think about this, the idea of the calm that comes and what this really means. Quite often when Paul wrote his letters, he would talk about this idea of peace. So we talk about grace and peace. So a lot of times he'd be saying those words, grace and peace. And some people would say they're kind of a combination of a greeting, kind of a polite greeting, but for him it was more of a spiritual greeting. But maybe the grace was more of a Gentile greeting. The peace would be more of a Jewish, so, you know, the Jewish greeting of shalom, which means peace. But grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Well, if this is what we really want, this peace, this grace, if we want the spiritual blessings. But it's interesting here, he talks about grace and peace, he talks about the blessings, but how does that come? It comes from the Father, but who does that come through? Well, two times, that almost seems redundant when we read this. But he's saying if we want the grace, if we want the peace, if we want the spiritual blessings, it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was the name that was given to the Messiah, to Jesus. That's his proper name. Okay? Jesus. Christ was his designation, which sometimes would mean Messiah. He is the chosen one of God, the anointed one of God. So Jesus is who he is, maybe we would say in the flesh. The Messiah is the one he has been sent from God. He is the one that's going to provide the way. He is the one that's going to provide life. He is going to provide the way through our storm. So maybe at this point we're happy with Jesus and Christ. But the question is, are we okay with Jesus being Lord? See, being Lord means that he is the one who's going to be the master. Okay, if he's in the boat, that means he's the captain, right? So sometimes we want to be the captain of our own vessel, and we like Jesus as a passenger. Or we could make him the first mate, right? We'll give him a position. We'll give him a title, right? But I still want to be the captain. I still want to be steering the boat. I still want to be in charge. But if you want Jesus in the boat, he's not coming in as a passenger. He's not coming in as a helper. He's not coming in as somebody who's just going to sit around, and when you need him, then you can wake him up, and then you can say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? God is going to be working through his Son, but Jesus has to be the Lord. He's going to be the one in charge. He is going to be the captain. The question is, are we willing to put him in that position? Because it's our choice. He doesn't force his way in to say, I'm going to take over your life from here on out. You're doing a lousy job. But he doesn't do that. He says, if you want me to come in to give you grace, to give you peace, and to give you blessings, I'll do that. But this is what we do. We make him the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a lot of people, they don't really want Jesus as Lord. This is what we talk about when people become Christians. That's all it really means to become a Christian. It's just understanding who God is, understanding what Jesus has done, and saying, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm going to surrender everything to him. I'm going to let him drive the boat. I'm going to be there just along with him. That's kind of what Jesus said to the disciples when he said, what did he say? Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me is what we're doing. We follow Christ. We listen to what he says. We do what he tells us to do. We imitate his example. We go where he sends us. So all of that is involved in making him the Lord of our life. So the question is, are we willing to make him Lord? Because if he's not the Lord, he's not in the boat. If he's not in the boat, what happens when the storms hit? But on the other hand, if we are Christians, surely we find some kind of peace, even in the storm, because we say God is with us. Jesus is here. He is going to see us through. We don't know what the end is going to be. But we trust him. So what do we do? What's our response? Is Jesus in the boat? Maybe you've never allowed Jesus in. You've never said, I am going to surrender. I'm going to give up my rights of steering my own vessel. I'm not going to be the captain anymore. I want Jesus to be in charge. I'm going to follow him. And if today you're ready to make that kind of a decision, to surrender to Christ, you can do that. We encourage you to do that. We want you to think about that. Maybe if you're not ready today, to think about, do I want Jesus on my boat? And if today you want to be baptized into Christ, we can help you with that. We can encourage you as you walk the Christian life. But there may be people here that at one time you've had Jesus in the boat and you've just been neglecting him. You've been distant. You've been doing your own thing. You've taken the controls back from Jesus and said, I'm just going to do it myself. We want to encourage you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you if we can. Storms of life, they are going to come. We're going to sing this song. I thought I'd just put it up just for a minute. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. If we can encourage you today in your Christian walk, if we can be an assistance to you as you surrender your life to Christ and be baptized, let's stand, we'll sing the song, let us know how we can encourage you today.